listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And I'm James.
And I'm Kevin. That was efficient. Wow, that might have been, hold on, that might have been the cleanest intro we've done in a while.
Yeah, because I intentionally screwed up. Also, it's like 4 o'clock, so earliest we've ever been on. Yeah, it's very efficient.
Look
today.
At this. I'm very impressed. I think it's the Christmas spirit filling my heart.
Yeah, or maybe we just got in early, but yeah. You know.
Maybe the last guy wasn't dragging his feet.
Ooh. He's like an avid fan listening right now.
Oh no.
I like this little whatever this is, like this puffball on the microphone.
I believe that is called I
don't think it's a pop filter.
It's not a pop filter. No. It's for sibilance.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Sibilance. Because I sound like this is fine, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think I can at least hear my levels better.
Yeah, they put those on. Because I have a radio background. We have plain directed mics that really bring out a lot of volume, and then you have those which are subdued. But if I say Sally went down to the seashore, it's not as strong as it
Sally
might be.
Went down to the seashore.
Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
So it is our last show for a while.
That's sad, but it's also the last show for a while means that we're getting a decent break, so that'd be nice.
Such a break month. I think I don't know about you, but when people are comparing breaks when you're home, they're like, oh, when are you back? I'm always home for a week before everyone and home a week after they go home.
Yeah,
except for one or two people.
Well, one of the main things one of the main reasons for that is that a lot of other schools get reading weeks, right? So they have a week before finals to kind of digress well, they're supposed to be studying, but I'm assuming people party for the first few
days. Yeah, so that's why I think we probably don't do that, because there's no way people use that effectively.
I would like at least, I think 2 or 3 days would be fine, but the one day is not nearly enough to get me situated into the whole, you know.
Yeah, no. We're having a quiet argument. Sorry, with our eyes, it's not working.
Is it not?
Yeah, we're trying to get our delicious background music on. Is the volume down?
Rough, there we go.
Rough stuff. All right.
Perfect. I'm just trying to listen to more Redbone. That's my
let's just play Redbone. Let's just play "Come Get Your Love" on repeat.
Or we can play Redbone and then Redbone, Childish Gambino's Redbone.
Oh, or let's put
it is what hot.
Has no one done that?
What do you mean?
What, you know how it's what blank would sound like if it were Redbone or whatever?
What Redbone would sound
like if it were Redbone?
I could see that. That'd be funny.
That's pretty funny. This is nice. Coffee table jazz works well for the holiday season.
It does.
Because Yule log songs always just have jazz piano.
Yeah, I imagine myself sitting next to a fire, probably because it's 200 degrees in this.
Feels like we got a Yule log going. We actually have a fireplace. You've been in Kirby.
In Kirby, yeah.
We tried to pitch it to our RA, who kind of pocket vetoed it, but it would just be so, how nice would it be? In the olden days, I imagine they would actually have fireplaces in the dorms.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's so cute. That's Hogwarts,
frat houses,
you know?
And all, yeah.
You'd have a fireplace and you'd drink your mulled cider.
Yeah, more wine. Of a home as opposed to a house.
Yeah.
Or a college crew.
And Kirby incidentally feels very homey. It would be
at least the common areas do.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We have a Christmas tree in the adult area.
Yeah, I heard about your pink lights, you freaks.
Purple. Yeah.
Your classic purple Christmas lights.
We have the clapper. It's a great party tree.
I find
too.
That really funny.
It's great.
Ladies. And then
the funny thing is you can stand on the opposite corner of the room and you can snap your belt twice and it'll work.
Now why are you snapping belts?
Well, we were trying to figure out how far away we could get the thing to trigger. So, pretty far away.
Yeah. But you think it'll work right now if I do it?
Yeah. All right, I just got texted. No, it's you have to be it has to be directly in the line of, I guess how sound works, right? So
the line of sound.
If
of course.
I'm directly across the room in the opposite corner, it works. But if I'm around the corner, it doesn't work.
It's a physics 101. It's called the line of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You learned about that freshman year of high school. You take physics in high school?
I did two years.
Did you like it?
I did not like it.
We had a very intense physics teacher. He was, It's every now and then you'll meet like a teacher who's not so much a teacher as they feel like a revolutionary.
Or a drill sergeant.
Yeah, or one of those like, you know, just communist dreamers. And he would just like talk about space and time in elaborate detail. And we'd all sort of, either we'd be hooked or just be like, what?
Yeah, you know, I had a calc teacher who was actually an ex-drill sergeant.
Really?
Yeah, so he was.
He was laying it on
thick. He was bad.
Is this good?
he was like this old crotchety man.
Yeah.
You know, you'll never
forget if it's continuous or discontinuous after he screams it in your face for 10 minutes.
It looked like he had submerged himself in a pool of water for like 10 years and then just never crawled out. Yeah. Sopping wet with a scowl on his face.
I never had a. When I was younger, this was a traumatic moment for me, so I kind of need this therapy.
Okay. I'm here for you, Kevin.
Thank you. This is actually now like a Dr. Love, Feel Love show, like
Feel
midnight
love.
When they're like, oh, hey,
my
name is Dr. Patricia Feel Love, and, you know, I'm waiting for you callers to help you with all your, you know. So you're now that person.
I'm for me. Patricia Feel Love?
Patricia Feel Love. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Classic, the archetype.
That's fair. Lay it on me.
So when I was in first grade, you've got the stance right now too. He's got his arms folded on the desk with his fingers interlaced, like with good posture going, all right, tell me. Right,
tell me where it all began. Show me on the doll where he touched you.
No, not that kind of, no. That's a different story. No, I'm kidding. Kidding.
Continue.
It's a joke. We're kidding.
We've been getting pretty close to the mics already.
Yeah, we've also been getting more and more racy as the year goes on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe it's the seniority now. We feel like
we're just comfortable with each other. You know?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with you.
Don't do it.
No, when you let the jazz fade in, it gets anytime you cut off and say something. It doesn't even have to be intimate. I could just be like, yeah, I do. I really enjoy squash.
that's really nice. I like that a lot.
And it fades in and makes it really romantic. Anyway. When I was in kindergarten, I believe, this was the worst my teachers got, actually. This was like the pinnacle. After
really?
That, they were all great.
Jesus.
Her name was, I'm not going to name any names. Her name was, let's say, Mrs. Chinbone.
What a horrible name.
Well, that's her prominent feature. But Mrs. Chinbone, we were doing, this is kindergarten, by the way. So yep. Not only do I, or like, am I not socially or emotionally stable or developed? But just my motor skills and, like,
you're still talking about kindergarten, right?
Yes, thanks. None of that is developed.
It was a cheap shot.
We were doing a color by number or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She says, I want you to use two colors. And, like, in passing, you know, like, all right, so we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. Use two colors and draw. So me, being the radical artist that I am, the postmodern genius, the avant-garde of color by number, I decided to use three colors.
Ooh.
And I brought it up to her, and she crumpled it up, threw it across the room.
Really?
And she was like, I said use two numbers, do it over. Something along those lines. That's how my brain remembers it right now. But Maureen Milton, bless her soul, I came home and I started crying.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, Mom, Mrs. Chinbone said that I at the dinner table, you know, we were all sitting. I was sitting quiet, eating my food. My mom goes, how was school, Kevin? And I just start crying.
And
Mrs. Chinbone said I could only use two colors instead of three. So my mom puts, she's like, oh, okay. You know, she's got like a wry smile on.
Mm.
And I don't know what happened, but she went into school the next day before I came in. And then left as I was entering Mrs. Chinbone's classroom. Mm-hmm. And she goes, hi, good morning, Kevin. How are you? And I was like, I'm great. I'm like, how are you? She's like, great. Just take a seat wherever you like. I'm like, oh, okay.
Is there anything I can do for you? You want some coffee?
Yeah. Can I get you your slippers and a pipe?
Yeah.
And then although I probably shouldn't be smoking at age 5. But then I went home, and then my mom was like, oh, so how was class? I was like, oh, it was great. Mrs. Chinbone was so wonderful. And my mom just smiling like, yeah, I bet she
what
was.
What the heck did she do?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Because she was uptight, that woman. So my mom must have had to brought the hammer of God down.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Next day, you come to class like, oh, well, your teacher won't be working here anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, Chinbone's gone. Unforeseen circumstances.
Did she retire? No.
No, there's actually no records of her that exist anymore. Three colors, my ass.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's I was wondering, I think everyone's got one of those nightmare. You have any, not really traumatic, but like those, you know, like those quasi-traumatic experiences that just sort of stick out in your mind? Like those
like
young ones.
A lot younger? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Just things that are social missteps that don't mean anything now. Like if I use three colors now and my teacher flipped out, I'd be like, okay.
I'm 20. No, sorry, 21. Thanks. Like,
all right. Do you have any of that?
I mean, yeah, I have a few. It was all like self-brought, though, if that makes sense. Like I did a lot of stupid things.
It was
things.
Always my fault.
Everything
it's
is
not
always
your fault,
my fault.
James.
No, I mean, like I did a lot of stupid things as a kid and I got reprimanded for it. So that's
oh, were you
more...
one of those?
Yeah.
I would never imagine you as a problem child. You're very tame.
Well, I wasn't a problem child. I was just stupid. Well, right. I was intelligent, but I was stupid. Does that make
right,
sense?
Right, yeah.
I was
a lot.
An intelligent idiot.
Mm-hmm. Like, so. I could... My dad was always like, you could cure cancer, but you can't...
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You can't... Oh, wow. We should just have...
Oh, so we do have an audience.
Yeah. He's like, you could cure cancer, but you still bunny... I still do bunny ear my shoes when I tie them. Let me see. Do you just not...
But right. I just—it's so much easier.
Is that a thing among people that are?
I don't know. I got
that slightly above
I got
average
roasted
intelligence
by a friend for doing
bunny
that.
Ears.
Yeah,
maybe that's like a mark of savantism or genius.
Are you calling us autistic?
I said savants. That's autism with flavor.
Oh my god!
What? That's not bad. That's what
I
it is.
I know, but it.
That's what it is.
We are getting a bit more racy. Well, all right. To be fair, I made an anti-vaxxer joke last year. Or
yeah, but
week.
You can make fun of those people.
Yeah, because they're insane.
Right.
We had
there's
a
certain
lot of,
there's
we
certain
taking...
like intellectual minorities that are minorities for a reason because and their ideas are not you can't push them forward among
yeah,
a certain crowd.
Yeah, we were taking pot shots at a lot of those groups.
Yeah.
Last week, like the flat earthers, you know. Did you see, did we talk about Elon Musk last week?
No, but he's always up to something.
So Elon Musk tweeted at the Flat Earth Society and said, hey guys, I just had a question. Why are there no flat Marsers, right? Because, you know, the Mars is on our planet. Like, if Earth is flat, then Mars should be flat too, right? And the Flat Earth Society retweeted it and they were like, hey Elon, thank you for your great question. Unlike the Earth, Mars has been proven to be round. Thank you for your time. And I'm just like, all right.
Now,
yeah, sure.
Now, I know this isn't our usual style, but this is something that has been bugging me forever. What, and I'm typing this as I ask, what are the arguments for the Earth being flat?
I have no idea.
We're about to find out. This is from actually the Flat Earth Wiki. Frequently asked questions.
Wow,
what evidence do you have? So this is the evidence. Now I think it's worth our time because if we can't disprove this with a cursory glance, which I'm assuming we can,
I think we should take one or two questions because I don't want to spend too much time.
No, absolutely. But just what evidence do you have is the only thing I want to look at.
Yep.
And this is straight from the Flat Earth Society. Which incidentally has a beautiful calligraphy in their logo.
Yeah, it's
and actually a quite
nice.
Cute minimalist logo.
Wait, is that why is their logo a circle? Shouldn't it just be a line? Because the Earth is flat, right?
Wait a minute.
That's
wait
some
a minute.
Inconsistency.
Wait a minute. Oh my! It
that's inconsistent. That is incredibly inconsistent.
No.
It's
what
a,
I'm looking at
sphere.
Is the little insignia to the left of the.
That's what I'm saying.
If,
right
if
there,
you're
yeah.
at home, if you're listening, I really hope somebody is. If you're listening in your car and you're interested about these flat with these flat earthers, go to the Flat Earth Society Wiki, and immediately to the left is a picture of the Earth.
It's a sphere.
And it's curved.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Wow. The designer really didn't look that over. That's just like, oh,
so
man.
I think we're done, right? Like, that's it. That's all we need.
I'm going to just peruse. I'm just
no,
going to read
kidding,
this.
I do want to.
The evidence for a
this.
Flat Earth is derived from many different facets of science and philosophy. Did you know that?
Yes.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is being read ironically.
Yeah.
Instead, people tune in and we're just preaching Flat Earth dogma.
Liberals.
So the evidence for a flat earth is derived from many different facets of science and philosophy. The simplest is by relying on one's own senses to discern the true nature of the world around us.
Oh, so like if I'm standing and I'm not falling, it's
right.
flat, right?
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world looks flat. The bottoms...
So exactly what I just said, right? I'm looking at the screen, but I can't read the words.
The world looks flat. the bottoms of clouds are flat. The movement of the sun. These are all examples of your senses telling you that we do not live on a spherical, heliocentric world.
The sun rises in the... The sun follows an arc.
Now, interestingly enough, I'm going to reread this sentence again because I don't know if I'm misreading it. This is actually a fragment. These are all examples of your senses telling you that we do not live on a spherical, heliocentric world. Are they also implying that we don't live on not only a spherical, but also a heliocentric world?
Yeah, as in we don't revolve around the sun.
They don't believe that either?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. Copernicus is rolling over this is using what's called an empirical... So they're using an empirical approach.
Okay.
Science doesn't use empiricism.
Yeah.
Only these guys. And gals.
Hmm.
No gender bias. You might want a gender bias. And women might just want to wipe their hands of this completely. Or an approach that relies on information from your sentence. Alternatively, when using Descartes' method of Cartesian doubt to skeptically view the world around us, one quickly finds that the notion of a spherical world is the theory which has the burden of proof and not flat earth theory. Now, that one's semi-interesting, but probably easily disprovable.
Yeah.
Perhaps the best example of flat earth proof is the Bedford Level experiment. In short, this was an experiment performed many times on a 6-mile stretch of water that proved the surface of the water to be flat. It did not conform to the curvature of the earth that round earth proponents teach. That is the only...
actual scientific proof they have.
Perhaps,
so far.
Yeah, and I don't even know the credibility of that. Many other experiments demonstrating lack of curvature. But their main argument, and I'm assuming this is just to recruit people... is just look around.
You know what? After reading this, I think it's insane that people think something like this.
Now, what's interesting...
Like people actually believe the Earth isn't flat.
Is I don't have to believe in a... What about a theory of gravity? I feel like I could easily just...
No, gravity exists.
Right, but I'm saying under their logic, I can sort of just look at things moving. Like... If I...
Oh, like not falling and be like, oh, gravity doesn't
exist. Yeah, anything that's not falling and is resisting gravity, I can look at it and go, well, that doesn't conform to a theory of gravity.
So you're saying... So their reasoning...
Or I could say anytime anything is falling, it's, you know...
Well, yeah, their reasoning for... their reasoning for the flat Earth is one anomaly that disproves... the idea of a spherical Earth, right? So you can extrapolate that to anything.
Right. It's in at this moment things don't feel spherical, and over 6 miles they don't feel spherical.
Yeah.
So there's I would have to think about it, but I could probably turn that on its head and make it pretty hysterical. But if you were wondering, that is what the Flat Earth Society thinks about life and empiricism. All right, we are coming up to 20 minutes. Seems about that time.
Yeah, sure.
Natural stopping point. I usually like to punctuate our talks with Flat Earth Society trivia.
That's becoming a theme.
Is it? Yeah, it is, slowly, because we talked about it last time. All right, so in the spirit of this being not only our last show until January something or other, January 20 something or 30.
Yeah, something like that.
Or February, probably January. Mm-hmm. In the spirit of that, we only have one episode, really, to play Christmas music, and I know... If anyone's listening to this particular FM station, they're probably hoping that we don't, but...
Yeah, too bad.
I think we'll play a flavor of Christmas music. It doesn't have to be the traditional stuff. I'm sure you're hearing...
Michael Bublé?
Well, we will play one Michael Bublé, but it won't be his mainstream Christmas songs. We'll play his original off that soundtrack.
Wow.
Because we're innovators.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well,
I'm playing Mariah Carey, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I guess then... I mean, we gotta have a little bit of pop.
Yeah.
But I want to start off with something that I believe we played last year, and I'm going to play it again, because it remains one of my favorites.
Whatever you'd like.
This is... Thank you very much. This is...
I love it. We're getting all the applause ones.
Mr. Heat Miser by Big Bad Boom Daddy.
Yeah.
Love this song. So much fun.
Yeah, we did. All right.
We're going to go ahead and play this for you and put you in the holiday spirit. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We'll be right back. too much. Oh, I'm too much, baby.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow. I'm too much. I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have it 30, 20 than 5. Let it freeze.
Ooh, it's cold in here, baby. It's much too cold in here for you now. Come on.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow.
Thank you. I never want to know a day that's under 60 degrees. I'd rather have it 80, 90, 100 degrees. Oh, some like it hot, but I like it really hot.
He's Mr. Heat Miser. He's Mr. Sun.
Too much.
Too much.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, this blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. And this is Mocha Gumbo, and I'm still Kevin.
I'm still James. You know what? I always thought it was Eastern Pennsylvania.
Oh, is that what you've been saying?
No.
Just
trying to, you know,
that was funny. That was funny. That was almost funny.
I am. It's a gift.
So I'm going to go ahead and unplug. I don't know who's... There it is. I couldn't lower the headphones before because I'm jacked into that and it's directly connected to this.
Oh, okay. Wow, cool. I can still hear myself.
Yeah.
That's really
it's
nice.
A lot better.
We've been getting so much more efficient. Unfortunately,
we really have peaked right now. This might be so far
like our entire lives or the radio show's life.
Well, both. They've both sort of converged.
No.
No. No. Are you?
This can't be it.
Is it? Well, no. I'm. It's perfect timing, though, because this is our last episode.
Yeah, so we can get crappy over the break again, and then, you know.
Well, that's how I've always felt. I like leaving. I would have preferred to leave on a bad note, so when we come back, we seem the same.
That's fair.
When we come back, it's just going to be a week of, welcome to Disco... Disco
Cheerio. Even
worse. I'm sorry. I mentioned my old lover.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, man. That's like calling out the wrong name in bed.
We're just not going to talk about that.
Oh, Disco Cheerio. you're no Eric. I hope he listens every now.
Because like I'm genuinely hurt.
Can you start wearing orange for me, babe?
I can't wear orange. It doesn't go with my skin tone.
You know what's funny? He was the only person.
I'm playing the music right now, so I could just.
But would you? That's kind of like you're taking us both down.
I mean,
Eric was one of the only people who could wear orange. He wore orange so well. I've never met anyone who could wear orange.
It's fair.
But maybe that's all he could wear. Honestly, I don't remember ever seeing him in anything but orange.
Yeah, I mean, we called him Orange Shirt Eric.
Well, I call him Eric. I think he's in my phone as Eric Orange Guy.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that was like his distinct, like every...
It was his thing, yeah.
Do you ever remember seeing him without orange?
I didn't see him very often.
No.
But no.
Yeah, me neither. I wonder if he still wears orange in Silicon Valley. I wonder if he's that guy. Because now he has a professional
Sounds
life.
Like you've been wondering about him a lot.
I miss you, Eric. I write love letters to him. He never writes back. I send them like snail mail. Like written on papyrus. Like
12 days.
Yeah.
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
may not get there.
Oxen back. Just like an oxen cart going across the country.
Like mailman on foot.
Yeah. I would love to go. Did we talk about that? How much I really want to cross? Yes, we did.
Yeah,
I want to cross briefly. The country on foot. That's like one of my big goals.
That's such a trek.
Yeah, and I over time, I think last year we talked about this, I changed it to on bicycle.
I don't like biking.
But now I'm okay with motorcycle. What?
That's fair. I don't know. You couldn't
see me on a motorcycle.
No, yes, first of all.
Yeah, me neither.
But that's just getting less and less in tune with like nature.
You know what? I'm gonna go cross country in a plane.
You know, I'm gonna take four highways and cross the country. Which is effectively what it is. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I just like I love to joyride and just veg. Like that's my thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Really.
I love being in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Such a good time.
Even just
like going out to get groceries. It's good to get off campus and all, you know?
I've always said that if I had like the first thing I would do if I won a ton of money, not like the first thing. Also, that's interesting. That's like a stereotypical icebreaker game conversation that we've never had.
Yeah.
What would be the first... Now, when I ask this question, people seem to misconstrue it. I don't mean like, what is your first priority? I mean, what is the first actual action you take other than exhaling? Or not exhaling and passing out when you win, say, $150 million?
Like, what do I do or what do I purchase first?
What I'm saying, what is the first thing you do when you look the ticket's in your hand and you see the last number's red? What is your first impulse?
Probably vomit.
Vomit?
I might have been kidding. Just the amount of... There's just so many emotions going into that.
Yeah, I think I'd vomit too. I was thinking about it. I really put myself in that place. Like, I won the lottery. And it started getting to me how much I don't think I want to win the lottery.
It's a huge responsibility.
Doesn't it? Like, I don't know if my brain, which is trained to think about the long term and has a lot of monetary concerns, could handle just that massive injection of money.
I doubt you could spend that amount of money, though.
No. Well, there's a lot of nightmare cases. You hear about all the time. People who get $200 million, $400 million from the lotto, and then they're like, you know what? I'm going to treat all of my friends to...
Houses.
houses and vacations in Tahiti. But, I mean, I think my first actual action would... I would go and take a shot of something. I don't know what it is. Actually, no, I think I would go out and buy like a bottle of champagne and then just wait for, depending on where I am, whoever I'm with to just come back, to come home, and then just get roaringly drunk. Which probably might not be a good idea because I don't know what I would do with
have the ticket and you got to cash that.
Yeah, so. All right. So I'd probably secure the ticket, buy the champagne, and then take it from there. And then the next day, probably call a lawyer.
Yeah. So that's it's a big hassle.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to do it. I don't think
that's the thing. A lot of the horror stories you hear, though, are from people who aren't financially stable already.
Right.
And then they win the lottery, and it's like, oh my God, I have so much money. What do I do with it all? And then they have to do something.
Well, even regular middle income people.
It's you don't need that money, right?
Obviously, but the thing is, here's the problem. People tell you you should take the lump sum amount and not take the progressive installment or whatever it is. So just everything all at once.
Yeah.
And it's the better fiscal move, but people, that's just like insane amounts of money. I think I would prefer to win like the 1,000 a week or whatever it is. 1,000 a day, that one.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
It's like $1,000 every day. So you can't make huge expenditures.
Hmm.
I think there is a lump sum amount you can get for that. But I might just take the progressive option.
Yeah.
Get $1,000. That would just be, I would go out of my way to an hour a day, like, do nothing. I mean, literally do nothing. Sit in a chair and, like, look at my backyard and get paid $100 for it. That would be like getting $100 an hour or, like, $120 an hour for an 8-hour workday, which is really not a workday. You're just 8 hours of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worked.
That's so interesting to think about, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. It would change my life too much. I like being, you know, hungry to an extent.
Yeah, you like having to need things, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Like,
although I don't know, I think I'd make a pretty good just rich person. My appeal to the fates. No, not even just a rich person. I think of the things I like to do. Yeah, I would be the best rich person you ever met. I sound like Trump.
Oh God!
I'd be so good at.
No, we're not bringing that man into the studio.
Yeah, not even as an idea.
Nope, I don't even want to hear the name.
Yeah, what a terrible human being.
I think we can call him Ronald Rump.
Ronald Rump.
Yeah.
Trump. You ever see that? Yeah.
Oh God, I'm sweating.
It's hard not to talk about Trump when he comes up, though.
Yeah.
There's so much, and I don't want to have a politically charged conversation because it's the holidays, and I really don't have the brain space for it.
Yeah, plus I have to deal with that during, family dinners and all.
So. Oh, yeah, so you already got it.
As soon as we get home.
Mm. Oh, do you have supporters? Everyone has supporters in their family.
Oh, no, actually.
No? Not one? Really?
That's a nice, my family is pretty liberal.
Yeah.
Or doesn't care.
My family is conservative, but very, very anti-Trump.
That's good.
They were more abstainers than anything else, but, time is...
Yeah, it is.
Rushing by. Barely. Well, we actually, that's 40 minutes with 10 minutes of song, so we still got 10 minutes.
Might have been more than 12, or, yeah, 12 minutes.
We'll give it till 4, we'll give it 3 minutes and we'll play some more music.
Alright.
Actually, while we're on the subject of music, Christmas music, I had this, it's gonna kill me. I had a thing. Give me 2 seconds.
Man.
Christmas. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned this to you yet. I don't know if I mentioned it to you off air or on air, but did I tell you about the wine advent calendar?
You did, yeah. You started that?
I couldn't get it.
Oh, no.
It's apparently the word got out.
And then just...
So I have a new idea. A new idea.
Hmm.
I buy 25 bottles of wine.
No.
Not one a night. No. Totally different. One glass.
Then you just have 25 open bottles of wine.
Yeah, and it's also, there's no advent calendar either, so I don't really have like... The advent calendar is the medium excuse.
You're just drinking it every night.
I'm just drinking a glass of wine every night.
For 25 days straight.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it until like the 9th, though, because that's when I'm sort of checking out mentally. Speaking of, when are you home?
Oof. My last final is... Saturday, like on a Saturday.
Oh, the follow.
Yep, 4 to 7. So well, I can't even go home.
I imagine that spaces out your finals then.
Nah, it's Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday.
That's annoying. Well, you get the beginning of the week to prep for those.
Yeah, I'm. That's the thing. I don't need to prep for any of them except for my.
Oh, really?
Well, so I have.
Oh, really?
I have Japanese, which we're taking an exam in this Friday, right? Mm. And it's basically a giant unit test. So, right. And I've done well on all of them, so I just have to review some stuff. Mm. My math exam is going to be difficult, so I just study for that. And then my anthro exam is just critical thinking and analysis of the things we have been reading the whole semester, right?
Right.
And we're allowed to bring notes and all. And
okay.
So that's nice. I can pretty much just write the answers to the questions, or what I think the questions will be,
uh-huh.
Or just... like take notes on what I think the questions will be.
Right. That's a treat.
Yeah.
What about big Christmas plans? I got nothing. I got Montreal again, actually, for me.
Really? Very nice.
Yeah.
We got family dinner in my house 23rd. Because my family doesn't really do stuff Christmas Day. Mm. We're weird. We don't do holidays that much.
I don't really have either a big Christmas Day or a big Christmas Eve. I have, like, a moderate Christmas Eve and a moderate Christmas Day. like a couple of family members over Christmas Eve, just like close family, and then regular. But Montreal is an endeavor again, and I've done it once. I did it once freshman year, and I loved it. It's a great place. But my friend was trying to persuade us, and I've been there. This will be my third time, so I know the city a little bit.
Yeah, I've been there twice. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's a lot easier to navigate. And he was trying to get us to stay in a hostel. Do you know what a hostel
yes,
is?
Yes, I know what a hostel is.
I had no idea what a hostel is, what a hostel was. And okay. I look it up, and he's like, yeah, you know, we can get a hostel for, like, $15 a night per person, which is ridiculous because we're getting a nice, like, practically studio apartment. For $200 a night, split between four people.
That's
so
still
it's
$50 a night's pretty.
It's only
pricey.
Twice as much. It's only $20 more, $30 more.
That's still my rent for the property I'm looking at for next year is like $550 a month.
Well, it's a studio hotel. It's like a hotel room. Hotel rooms aren't like $5 a day.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
$20 a night. And it really comes out to be like 40 because we're all sharing expenses. But
okay,
all
right, I guess that makes
$15
sense.
A night for a hostel. I'm going, wow, what is a hostel?
Hmm.
It's a barracks. It's just a barracks in the middle of the city. You sleep on the floor. You hope you get clean sheets. You eat like
whatever
mice happen to not make it through the night.
Hmm.
And he was trying to get us, and he was like, yeah, dude, I don't know if we all go there. I don't know if we're all going to buy into it. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's like hell on earth. If you're going to go on vacation, I get it for backpacking across, like, Europe. But a hostel in the... Doesn't it seem weird to have a hostel in a city?
Yeah,
I mean,
like...
In a city.
Not everyone can afford the hotels, though.
But really, would you... I mean, if you can afford $15, you can afford
$30.
That's... I mean, if you can afford $15 for very little breakfast, very little food, very few appliances... It's just $15 to sleep on a floor.
Yeah, okay, that's fair, I guess.
You can afford $30 for a room with a kitchen, a small kitchen, and coffee, and continental breakfast, you know? I was like, I don't know. I don't know why people... It makes sense if you're going across Brazil on
foot.
Yeah,
if you just need to, like,
but
6 hours.
Not if you're in Montreal.
Mm.
All right, we are at 4:47. We could play two more songs.
And then
head out of here.
Word of the day.
Word of the day.
Out. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Sounds good.
All righty. So, do you have anything? Or should
nah,
I just
you can just keep doing Christmas
okay.
stuff. I'm sorry if I'm not being too active. I'm getting very sleepy right now.
Yeah, I'm getting very... Well, the air is like blankets here.
Yeah, it's
I come in here jazzed up, and then over time, I'm wearing this sweatshirt.
I have so many meetings after this, too. Monday's
classic
my worst.
Monday. Yeah.
Monday's my worst day, by far. Ooh, okay, I see.
So we're going up to Buble, but we're not going to play the traditional music.
Wow, number
we're
9.
We're
going to
play, yeah, which is his original, and I like it.
Mm.
It's every artist, when they make an album, they have their original song, and I think it's cute. So we're going to play Cold December Night by Michael Buble, and then whatever James wants afterwards. So
okay.
Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Stockings are hung with care. The children sleep with one eye open. Well, now there's more than toys at stake, 'cause I'm older now, but not done hoping. The twinkling of the lights, the Santa carols fill the household. Old Saint Nick has taken flight with a heart on board, so please be careful. I asked for many different things, but now I know what my heart wants you to bring. So please just fall in love with me this Christmas. There's nothing else that I will need this Christmas. Won't be wrapped under a tree. I want something to last forever. Kiss me on this cold December night. A tree that smells of pine, a house that's filled with joy and laughter. The mistletoe says stand in line, loneliness is what I've captured. Oh, but this evening can be a holy night. It's cozy on up by the fireplace and dim those
December night. Call it season of giving. I'm here, yours for the taking. Call it season of giving. I'm here, I'm yours.
Welcome back, and that's probably why the fan wasn't on. You are still listening to Mocha Gumbo, and I'm still Kevin.
And I'm still James.
What's going on? Well, you're coming up to the top of the hour. I'm going to go ahead and turn that
off. Yeah, that's probably the best. So what do we got? Word of the day, maybe? I like that a lot.
Yeah. It's word of the daytime.
Well, turns out we have a gimmick. Well, we've had a gimmick, but...
Yeah, and we're all right with it.
I mean, it's
word
no soundboard.
Word of the day is... Ooh, interesting. Maudlin. Make sure I'm pronouncing that right. I believe I am.
Maudlin.
Maudlin, great.
Maudlin.
Drunk enough to be emotionally silly.
Aw.
This is
an
adjective. Weakly and effusively sentimental. So, I think I can... You know any maudlins?
That's so wholesome.
That is adorable.
You can't say, do you know any maudlins? It's an adjective.
No, right. It should be a noun, though.
I don't know.
You're like a maudlin, like someone who's emotionally... Do you know anyone who is maudlin?
Yes.
I think...
Well, not currently.
Who do... I have a perpetually maudlin person in my life. Who is it? Oh, I hope he's listening, because I tell him to every now and then. Patrick Weber. Friend from back home.
Don't know the man, yeah.
I don't know. You ever have those friends where you, you know, they'll, like, two drinks in, two beers. You know, not that my friends drink, because drinking is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll become your best friend. They'll have to remind you of...
No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. I don't drink.
Well, let's hypothetically. I've seen you after a few virgin Cuba Libres.
Yeah, it's
you.
That is I.
You are that guy.
I am.
Now you're not nearly as bad as some other people, because there's been people that I know that it's recounting like the history of our friendship every single time.
No, I'm more the I love you all.
Right. Now that's fine, and I find that endearing. Now the thing is, there are extremes, because I can't stand people who are particularly maudlin to the point where nothing else is spoken about.
Yeah, it's literally just gushing.
Right. Like, and I also can't stand people who are incredibly aggressive.
Mm.
Prefer someone who's lightly sentimental at the nightcap time when it's like 2 a.m. But I can't do like...
It's sweet. It's reassuring, I think.
Yeah. No, I think... Well, of course you do, because you're otherwise...
Well, otherwise I have nothing. I have nothing going for me.
Yeah.
Then it's just annoying. So, you know.
Right. I like... I'm going to hold on to that word. Some of these words I discard. I couldn't tell you
most
what the
of
past
them I've
three
discarded,
were.
Yeah.
But maudlin. I'm going to carry that around with me.
You try to incorporate it into your everyday conversation. Whoa, my throat.
No,
sorry.
That's more like a narrative word. If I'm writing a story or something, I'd probably use
that. I like
word.
That, yeah.
Maudlin. It is, I'm sorry, I'm incredibly tired.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
It's, now so. With the music, which I was a poor choice because I thought it was going to be Christmas jazz, but it is kind of sweet down
It's
on
nice.
The snow.
It's really good.
With the heaviness of the warm air in this basement. In contrast to the winter cold.
Let's just edit.
And the jazz piano. This will be our last episode before Christmas. So if we, and we will not, don't see you between now and, or
choose,
don't.
Choose better words.
If you don't hear from us between now and December 25th, which you shouldn't unless you are personally known to us. And if you do hear from us, I would call the police, because that's just plain odd. This is Mocha Gumbo, and from Mocha Gumbo, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. And for the last time until February, this has been Mocha Gumbo, and...
I've been James.
And I've been Kevin, and you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. We will see you in February. Enjoy your break.
Love you guys.